One of the first things I do every morning is check on death notices. And the other day I saw a notice for a man named Jacques Amel, and typically I said prayers for him, and I went about my day thinking somewhat about other people who had died. And then I realized, as the Holy Spirit caused me to think, we should live a short life, a short time in life, and from the moment of our conception in our mother's womb until the time we die, we are really preparing for that short, during this short journey, for that long stay in eternal paradise. There are bumps along the way. There's our birth, first of all. And then, of course, there's Christian baptism. And then from that can flow so many other good things in which we can live, we hope, toward a happy life. Well, when I got to look at these readings and today's gospel, I thought how very close it is to this thought of preparing for death. For example, in this gospel, Jesus says, you might store up grain and goods for future blessings, and then you could be content. But God somehow is in charge of everything. And he might say something like, you're a fool, and tonight you'll die. And all of that piled up wealth of yours, to whom will it go? Well, there might be some answers to that if you're clever. About 100 years ago, there was a book written by a self-taught baseball player. He had played a short time, actually, and he was injured. And then when he had to look for a profession besides being in the minor leagues and working his way up, friends said, you have so many acquaintances because of your fame. Why don't you go out and sell insurance? He said, okay, a lot of people do that. And on the basis of reputation and fame, they find people willing to buy. After all, it's a very useful product. But soon the prospects dried up. He wasn't very well organized, and after a while, he was no longer popular and famous. But he came to a conclusion that if he read, for example, this gospel message, and he found other people who found that interesting, he could say, yes, you remember now, some of you are sickly, and if I talk to you, Mr. Prominent Businessman, I've heard that your heart is not so good. You could die tonight. And then if you say, well, what can I do about that? You say, I can give you an insurance policy in which you can designate to whom you will leave all of your goods. And that's a kind of a solution, isn't it? But of course, we know it's a very temporary solution, because when we look at the first reading, the one that is supposed to be attributed to someone called the temple preacher, possibly even the son of David, Solomon, with his wisdom, or someone in his school who thinks the same way. When we read that, we see that the prophet, the prophetic Ecclesiastes, is saying, look, everything is vanity. All things are vanity, because after all, you will live only a short time, and you realize that your possessions are not of much good for eternal purposes. And besides, even when you go to rest, you feel uneasy, do you not? And after having looked at that book that I referred to, written by a man about 100 years ago, a self-taught author, I thought of another self-taught author who lived about 200 years ago, named Charles Dickens. And so many of us know him because at least of one prominent story called The Christmas Carol. And in this Christmas Carol, he visualizes an old greedy bachelor named Ebenezer Scrooge. And Scrooge is living an uneasy, unhappy life because he's so selfish. He didn't have time to marry and share his wealth with a wife and have children to whom he'd have to peel out some of his fortune. Instead, he lived this grumpy, unhappy life. Well, possibly one night, and I look upon this as Scrooge maybe echoing the thoughts of Dickens himself, who himself did die suddenly and maybe feared a sudden death. And when you go to bed after perhaps having a bad meal and have dyspepsia, you could have some nightmares. And most of us know about the alleged nightmares where the ghost of Christmas past and Christmas present visit him, and then Christmas yet to come. Well, during this Christmas past so-called visit, he finds that there's a man named Jacob Marley who had been his curmudgeon nasty partner, but had died exactly 7 years before on that date, Christmas Eve. And he has this nightmare whereby Marley appears to him encompassed in chains and having a lot of misery enshrined in his face. And it's obviously his feeling that Marley had been tucked away somewhere in the depths of purgatory. He might have done some good once in a while, and therefore was able to sneak into purgatory, but he's had a long suffering life, or rather time there, although there is no real time, in purgatory. And Marley comes to warn him. And of course, he then has this idea of, he visualizes a rather happy past when things could have been so much different. And he now knows that he has been unkind and nasty toward many people. He comes up with the idea that maybe I could change my life and finally prepare for a better end than my poor friend Marley has had. And he decides to change his lifestyle. And when he wakes up at Christmas Eve and goes about doing that, he feels that he is going to really be happy by giving things away. And of course, we might add that his last dream, where he dreamt of Christmas yet to come, he visualized himself in a tomb in a forsaken, forgotten place, very gloomy, possibly a hint of eternal fire. And therefore, in order to escape hell and maybe squeak into purgatory like his friend Marley, he decides to give things away and to make everybody very happy, which he succeeds in doing. Well, as I've analyzed the first reading in the gospel, let me add that there really is a perfect fit for the second reading from St. Paul. He tells us that there is one answer in order to live a happy life, taking us through to the great end, and that is to put to death everything. And that's where I got this idea of death coming from St. Paul, who says, put everything to death because things are so ephemeral, so useless in many ways, and cling only to Jesus Christ. And of course, we here as Catholics have the marvelous advantage of receiving his body and blood at this altar during this Mass. And we realize that if we have Jesus within us, we're actually so well prepared for heaven that we are momentarily within heaven. And that during those few minutes that we have to say a thanksgiving after the end of Mass, perhaps if we lingered even in church for another 5 or 10 minutes, well, Jesus is still present within our breast. We can savor the presumed joys of heaven, the anticipated joys of heaven, because that is our real goal, and that is the goal of any happy person. I have said that my thoughts were somewhat triggered by a man named Jacques Hamel. Many of us saw his name in the newspaper a few days ago. He was a French priest who died a few days ago, a violent death. A priest in Normandy. Some terrorists stormed into his church and slit his throat. What an awful way to die. But on the other hand, they slit his throat and caused him to die while he was saying Mass. Now, I know we don't have the same opportunity to die while we're receiving Holy Communion, but the fact is that it is a preparation for it, no matter how long it takes, be it 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50, we still have to go through a life full of bumps and difficulties in order to achieve this beautiful ultimate goal. What an awful way for a priest to die. But since he died during Mass, what a beautiful way to die.